Hello and welcome to the Basic Bible Podcast. In front of a live studio audience.
For the first and last time, probably.
Are you saying we're not coming back next year?
Oh, well, I don't know.
Anyway, I'm your host, Kevin Thompson, and joining me are our most frequent guests on the podcast, Phil Allen, pastor of the Daystar Christian Fellowship in South Beloit, also vice president of our board at Rock County Christian School, still until April.
Probably until April.
Yeah. And then we're moving on to bigger and better paths. Anyway, and down to my far right is the one and only Ray Jewell. And Ray has served in a number of different capacities: blogger, author, community organizer, pastor, professor, and now teacher here at Rock County Christian School, and of course, a frequent co-host at the Basic Bible Podcast. All right, so we're here at the Community Strong Family Conference, and this is a panel discussion featuring questions on, of course, the family. So I'm going to start off with just a quick, light question. The question is, and Phil, we're going to start off with you. If you could go back in time, you're a sci-fi guy, you get in your time machine, you head back to when you were a newlywed, just married. Is your wife in here? No. Okay, so you're safe to answer this question.
She knew I was doing it.
So, yeah. So you fly back to when you were a newlywed. What advice would 2019 Phil give to newlywed Phil?
Wow. We will have been married 27 years in August. The further I go, I feel a little like the less advice I actually have to give. But I think I'd say two things. I'd say, first of all, and this is actually probably the least less important of the two, don't worry about what other Christians think of your marriage. I think that we want to label things, and Gene and I are really good partners, but we don't necessarily each fulfill the typical roles in a marriage, and so... early on, I figured out that Jean is really, really good with money, and I'm really, really not. So she doesn't let me, I'm not sure where our checkbook is, and I have a very small allowance that I can work with in any given week. I think that a marriage is a dynamic between two individual people, and finding how that dynamic works in your marriage is the key thing, not worrying about how someone else would label it or the specific roles someone else thinks that you should fill in that marriage. The other thing, though, that I would say is that Jean is very, very literally my best friend in the world. I would rather hang out with Jean than anybody else on the planet. And we have been really, really intentional over the years of developing the friendship. And I think the thing that I would say, I don't want to get into a whole lot here, but there's so much emphasis rightly on keeping the romance alive. I think that's really important. I think it's a vital thing. My experience is romance will see you through very, very little, and friendship will see you through a whole lot. And so I would say... maintain the relationship as hopefully friends. Certainly the romance matters, but that's what I'd say to me.
Ray, what would you say to yourself?
Well, my wife and I will be married 37 years this coming September, so I know less than he does. What I would probably say first, even before the wedding, is, are you sure you want to do this? Because life changes quite a bit when you commit yourself to another person. I'm not saying it was a bad idea, but it certainly brings with it a lot more responsibility than I probably took on before I was married. You know, I was a 25, 26-year-old guy that pretty much had figured out how he was going to live on his own. And, you know, so, and that's what I would tell anybody who wants to get married today. So think about this. Are you sure? Because this is a life commitment. I would agree with Phil that my wife is my best friend, and you know, we do some things together. The financial thing, it's interesting because not too many people would say that the wife is the one in charge of the finances, but that's also the case in my family. I mean, if it wasn't, we'd be in the old debtor's prison if... You know, because I'm not good with money either. I can bring it in, but I don't know how to dole it out right. And then, you know, just having the ability to talk things through, to be open in that, I mean, especially that most important relationship you have on earth, is to be able to just lay it on the line. Say, I screwed up, I'm sorry, forgive me, and then, you know, work on making it a stronger marriage.
You know,
that's so vital, and just to add in the other side of that, make sure you work on creating a safe space for your spouse to express themselves. Even when they disagree with you, even when they see it differently, even when they don't like what you did, I think that that idea of being really, really intentional, which I think we have to do, it doesn't happen just automatically, but of creating a relationship, maintaining a relationship where each of you know it's safe to express yourself. You're not going to be attacked for disagreeing. You're not going to be attacked for having a different vantage point, a different opinion is so crucial. Good point, Ray.
Wow, Ray, that was a compliment. I was going to say, before I was so rudely interrupted, that...
Could I have one other thing?
No. Sitting next to these guys, I feel like a newlywed. 27 years and 37 years? Wow. I'm at 12. But if I were to go way, way back 12 years ago, I like what both of you said. I didn't realize the need to vent, but... What I'll add to what you guys said is without fixing. Because sometimes that's the temptation. All right, my wife just complained about it. Okay, well, let's do something about that.
Four guys.
Yes.
We are fixing.
Yeah. You know, the attempt. Okay, she's okay, so I'm going to jump into action. What are we going to do about this? And sometimes she just wants to talk. She just wants to get that off her chest. And I've noticed that with about myself sometimes. I just want to just vent something a little bit. The other thing I would say to myself, it took me a while to figure this out, but once I figured it out, it made my life a little easier. And this goes against some conventional wisdom, is don't be afraid to go to bed angry. I've noticed with myself, I get in debate mode. I like to argue with people. That's what makes this podcast what it is. I like to discuss things, and I have found in several occasions, and this is horrible, but... I find myself wrong, on the wrong side of the debate, but still being able to think, I can pull this off. I can still win this argument. Even though I'm wrong, I can still, at that point, we're not going to solve anything. I just want to be right. Or sometimes I just get so angry, I'm just not thinking straight. And sometimes just a good night's rest will help me wake up in the morning with a little more perspective.
If you can rest and you're angry, that would be quite a feat, but yeah.
I've found if I can just sleep it off a little bit, I can wake up in the morning a little refreshed and thinking, okay, maybe I was just an idiot last night and I need to, you know, get that right. All right, well, that was our first question. What questions do we have from the audience? Do we have a cricket noise? All right, right over here. Okay, so off the question, what would you... Okay, so what would you go back to teenage years? So, Phil, how would you talk to acne-faced, awkward Phil?
Am I done with that part yet?
Well, I don't see any acne. Is that why you have the beard?
Yeah. Well, If that were all that made me awkward, we would all be in a better spot.
I would say, so I guess truthfully, this is something that I'm in the middle of facing right now, and something that I would definitely go back and say to myself. You have all of the classic stuff, which is absolutely right. You know, rely on God, trust God, find God, stay connected to God, all that stuff. But what I would truthfully say to me right now is be you. Figure out who you are. And because God's designed you, He made you. And He made you to not be that guy next to you. He made you to not be your parents. And He made you to not be your younger siblings. You have gifts, you have abilities, you have things you like, things you don't like, things you do well, things you don't do well. And embrace who God has made you to be. There's a lot that you need to change over the course of your life. There's a lot you need to work on. And there are also things you need to embrace that, you know what, I don't have to work on that. I'm not good at it. I don't like it. And it's okay that I'm not good at that. And so if I were to go back, I spent a lot of my years, I'm just realizing now, in someone else's shadow. And I'm 54. And I'm figuring out, wow, I've been asking the wrong question for about the last 20 years. It hasn't led me down the wrong path or anything like that, but it's led me to a weird spot. And so I think I'd honestly go back and say, figure out who you are, embrace that person as the design of God, and celebrate that.
Yeah, I would agree with what Phil said. I grew up, I have three brothers, two older, one younger, and trying to find my niche in that was interesting, because the older one was the brains of the family. He ended up becoming an engineer and, you know, smart guy, and boring but smart. The next one was the good-looking athlete type, and he ended up being a lifer in the Air Force. And then the younger one is the baby of the family, so he always got, you know, treated differently than the rest of us did. So I had to carve out my little area, and music turned out to be that, especially vocal music. Love to sing. We got to start a RCCS gospel quartet one of these days, because I know we have some other guys who can sing. Not Mr. Thompson.
I'll pull the banjo out.
But the thing is, that became my identity, but then my dad still had a big pull on my life, and I would say to this day, the reason I went into the ministry was because he had a desire that one of his four boys would be a preacher. And you know, I look back on my life and I said, man, that was the worst career choice for me to have made. And yet I look back on my life and said, man, where would I be without the education? I have, you know, two bachelor's and two master's degree, all related to Bible and theology and that sort of thing. I have my wife that I never would have met if I hadn't gone in that direction. I have two children, actually three. One is sort of an adoptive, not really adopted like Kevin is adopted to people, but you know what I mean. Met tons of people. I've got friends literally all over the world because I went the route that I did. So even though it took me a long time to get into a full-time position, what I believe God had called me to be, which is teaching. And actually, I'm not technically teaching. I'm an aide, but I still get to interact with the kids and do some teaching. And I've had the opportunity to teach at the college level. And I've subbed in the Beloit District for 9 years, 4K all the way through high school. So I've had all kinds of experience with all kinds of ages and people and backgrounds. And it's been an exciting ride for somebody from Janesville, Wisconsin, who back in the day, we had no idea what diversity meant because there was none in that town. There is now. But anyway, just following what God wants you to do. I saw that movement.
Yeah, we have a spinoff podcast called Reigning in Ray, because sometimes Ray just needs to, you know, cut it short.
And sometimes Kevin takes over the... Yeah.
Well, it's my podcast. This is my microphone. Ronald Reagan quote, if you remember back that far. Anyway, what I would tell myself as a teenager, I really struggled through my teenage years. And I think the number one piece of advice I would give myself is, it gets better. I struggled with acceptance. I struggled with, I knew who I was. I didn't have questions about that, but just accepting that as valid was a struggle for me. And different family situations were a struggle. And so my first feeling, it's going to get better. Stick through this. But second, God loves you. And I struggled with that idea for quite some time. That idea that God loves me unconditionally, despite whatever failings and whatever situations I fall into, I can bask in that love and I can find acceptance in Christ that I don't find in other places. And it took me a real long time to figure that out. So if I could talk to my teenage self, I think that would be almost the number one thing I'd say is, God loves you, and be okay with that. Accept that. Because I can remember struggling with just even that concept of why would God want me? I remember, I don't know why, in every Sunday school class I was in, the teacher would always say, and I think somebody in this room is going to be a preacher or a pastor in some full-time Christian service. And I'd look around, and I had my people picked out. It was never me, because I would never think that God would want me. I was just, I assumed I was going to be some sort of average worker in a dead-end job, just paying the bills, and I'm just going to try to be okay with that. But God loves you, and He's already accepted you, and be okay with that. All right, any other questions? Okay, not everybody at once, please. All right, well, I'm going to throw out a question here. We are trying to emphasize, in fact, in the back table over here, we want to emphasize the importance of church. The local church, I believe, is a crucial aspect of the Christian faith. I don't think that we can have the relationship with Christ that we ought to without community. And so I've found, now, this is awkward because my pastor is here, but when you have a family, church becomes a little more difficult, or finding the right church becomes a little more difficult, in that there now you have several different things you've got to consider and weigh when you walk into the church building. So the question is, how do you decide what church is right for your family? What are some things that you should consider? We'll start with Ray. Former pastor.
I think that the first and foremost thing is that it is a Bible-believing body of believers, and that the word is preached and proclaimed in worship and in any program or activity that the church does. I'd like to see a church that is going the extra mile and discipling everybody in the church, not just the adults. Kids need to be discipled too, or led to the Lord initially and then discipled. I think that that's such a crucial aspect of the Christian walk, and then developing relationships with people that you have others that you can go to. Bible talks about sharing your burdens with one another and confessing your sins to one another. Well, it's sort of hard to do that if you think you got to do it in front of everybody. The idea is then to get involved, as Kevin and I and a couple other guys are right now, in what's known as a life group, where we can share our lives with each other and talk about the stuff that is pulling us down and share each other's victories, and sort of sounds like the Bible to me.
Let me say, because I like how you answered that right off the bat with sound Bible preaching. More important than programs, more important, because that's the temptation. Well, I've got a teenager, so it's going to be youth group, it's going to be nursery, it's going to be this, this, and this. But the foremost important thing is that the Word of God is being preached in a correct, convicting, and sound way is absolutely has to be number one. That's non-negotiable. Everything else, I think...
Well, if you want to see a program started and so your kids have something to be involved in, you can volunteer for that.
Yeah. Phil.
Well, I think the idea of biblical preaching and community are so crucial, and I would absolutely echo those. The one thing that I would add in is, you know, I think if you look culturally, our kids, our teenagers, are far more likely as believers, as teenagers, to walk away from their faith than teenagers have ever been. And it's by an astronomical percentage. And the question I think we need to ask is what's happening? And there are a variety of things happening, but one of the things that I think probably is part of it is that Ray mentioned programs. And I think that through Sunday school, youth group, that stuff, as great as those are, somewhere along the line, lots of us as parents sort of gave the role of spiritual leadership over to the youth group, the Sunday school, the youth pastor. And at the very best, that's supplemental. Very best, the youth pastor can support you as the primary influence in your kids' lives, your grandkids' lives. And so I think I would add in something to the biblical preaching community of find a place where your faith is nurtured, challenged, and where you feel equipped to hand off your faith to your kids and grandkids. And it may be the place that has all of the bells and whistles. It may not be the place that has all of the bells and whistles, but don't hand off, don't look for a church where you can hand your kids off. Look for one that will support you in playing your primary role in their spiritual lives.
Or a Christian school, for that matter.
Right.
We partner with parents at Rock County Christian School. We don't take over your job.
Right, we don't replace them. You know, our family was just in the position of looking for a church, was it 2 years ago now, I think. And, we had an idea of what we wanted. So, you know, for those of you who don't know, we have four boys. Well, we started off with two years ago, and now we've doubled through adoption. And we were wondering, okay, I'm looking for a place that has, you know, the top-notch kids program. I'm looking for a place that, and I wound up with a place that doesn't have any of that. But what we do have, it's a small church, but it's a church that really has adopted our family and shown love to our family. We don't have the state-of-the-art nursery or children's program, whatever, but we have people who love the Lord, love our family, love our kids, and, you know, have just embraced all of that. So we don't need to look for all the programs. And what Phil said is really important as well, that biblically speaking, it's the parents' job to raise their children. And you want to be in an atmosphere where that's being promoted and nurtured. So don't be afraid to go to the smaller church and to just get involved and to, yeah. All right, I'm rambling on.
Well, I think, too, I just...
I said ramble and Ray jumps in. Okay.
Came to me that if grandparents are still involved and are actively, you know, they can be a big help too with the nurturing of your children. And a lot of times the kids are more apt to listen to grandma and grandpa than they are to mom and dad. And that's, in a sense, that's okay because grandpa and grandma have got a lot more under their belts than even mom and dad do. They've lived life a lot longer and have trusted in God for a lot longer, and that's a good thing.
And Phil, you mentioned, you know, the fear of kids walking away from their faith or walking away from the church, and I don't feel like my kids are in that situation because I feel like our kids are little rock stars in our church. They feel very loved and very appreciated, and you know they don't like it when we miss. Anyway, just throw that in there. All right, we are running out of time, and so we typically end our podcast with book recommendations, recommended resources for going in a little deeper. So, Ray, is there a book or something you would recommend to dig a little deeper in this subject?
I think pretty much anything that Gary Smalley has ever done, and now his son is also actively involved in helping marriages that are on the brink of divorce, and they've had a high success rate. So that their materials for parenting, I'm pulling out the old ones because that's what I grew up with and started off with. James Dobson has some good stuff. Of course, reading the Bible always helps in pretty much any topic, but there's certainly some guidelines for parenting and marital relationships in God's Word.
I have two thoughts that I'd share, and I wrote them down because I never get the authors right. But one of them is a book called When Sinners Say I Do.
Yes.
By Dave Harvey. And I love the underlying assumption of the book is that you are two sinful, self-absorbed people getting married. And how do you do that? How do you live that out in a way that honors God? How do you grow in that and be very honest about that? It doesn't give any cookie-cutter answers, which I also appreciate, but it's a really good one. The other one is a book by Paul David Tripp called What Do You Expect? And it's along almost a similar line, except he talks about it a little more in terms of kingdoms. And he says, you know, are you trying in your marriage to build your little kingdom for yourself, or are you trying to build God's kingdom there? And they're books that are just really honest about marriage and don't offer just kind of the same things we always hear over and over again, but talk about it from the vantage point, the realistic vantage point of we're going into this with some huge problems, and how do we wed together as two people with huge problems into a unit that reflects and honors God?
Those are two of the books I was going to mention. And so I was trying to pull up on Amazon. There are two other books that we got, my wife and I got, early on in our marriage, and I can't remember the exact titles, but they were two complimentary books. Complimentary, sorry, Ray. If you listen to the podcast, you'll get that. What Every Husband Wishes His Wife Knew and What Every Wife Wishes Her Husband Knew, something like that. Those are two little books, but they were very eye-opening. And I'm really glad Jill read it. And someday I'm going to read the other. No.
I doubt that she could ever be ready for you.
No, those were two really good books, and I would highly recommend them. And I'm just seeing now that Lee Strobel has entered the building, so I'm just going to wave to him. And we'll
Kevin, I have one question for you. I had a question over at the table. Is the podcast available on YouTube?
It will be, but is not yet. So. All right, and that's our bell. So we're going to wrap things up. So don't forget to visit our vendors table over here. Get a sampler CD, fill out a little card, and get some books from us. And check us out at the website, www.basicbiblepodcast.org. So join us back next week